Do you wish that you could make dating feel more fun and less stressful? What should you look out for in terms of red flags with online dating and in-person dating? How can you flirt? How do you make the first move? What do you do when someone else makes the first move? These are the questions that I asked Lesotho Thlaby, who is a host and satirist who is well-loved in South Africa. She gives frank and hilarious comments to my questions, and I really can't wait to share it with you. So whether you're new here or have been here for a while, I'm Lisa Welsh. Welcome to In Bed with Lisa. This is where you're going to find realistic and shame-free conversations to help you have more fun in bed, because life is too short for mediocre sex. So if that sounds like something that you want, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review to make sure that you get the next installment and to spread the news with other people too. Without further ado, let's dive in. Welcome back to In Bed with Lisa. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Lesotho Thlaby. She is a host and satirist. You are going to love her if you don't know about her already. Welcome, Lesotho!
Thank you. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It is so good to see you. Every time we have had a conversation, I just feel like I've known you forever, and I just love your vibe, your energy, your banter, and your you don't hold anything back. And I just love that about you.
Likewise, I think the energies meet at the right place. And we've never met in person, which is weird. It feels like we have, but we haven't.
Not yet. So I had to bring you on here because let's just be real. Your Instagram is on fire. Your followers are the best. And wow,
the best.
Yeah, they are the best. And on a Monday, your stories are unmissable. Like, I have to make time to actually go through them. Like, how did that start? And like, what is it all about?
So last year, I think we went down a level back to level 4 or something like that in lockdown. So we weren't allowed to go out that much. I think there was a ban on drinking in public, curfew. So I was just bored. Like, I literally was just bored, and I asked a question. I don't even remember what the first one was about. But I asked a question. It's mostly about relationships or sex. And the responses I got were really interesting. So I thought, in order to like make these responses, they're really interesting on their own, but in order to make them like truly epic, I need to come up with a reaction to them, because just reposting the answer is kind of boring. So I just took them, found whatever I felt like related to the answer. So if someone said, something about anal or whatever, then I'd go on TikTok and maybe look for like a train going through a tunnel, because that reminds me of that or whatever. And the illustrations are actually just as much as the answers why people come to the stories. So yeah, it's been really fun. And it's been a year now almost. But it just started because I was like at home and I was like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with my time?
Brilliant. And oh my gosh, the people's responses to your questions are real and raw and shocking and brilliant.
I think the one thing that was like super surprising to me is how much people trust me, because I can see their names. Obviously, I post the stories anonymously, but I can see who it is. And some of these people are people I know. Some of them are my friends. Some are famous. But I think it's nice that I've been able to gather a community of people who trust me and I trust them with their stories. And they know that this is a safe space, a non-judgmental space, and a space where I'm not trying to come as an expert. I've never said I'm a relationship expert. Lord knows I'm not one. It's just a place where I feel like women can talk, because we seem to hide our issues, and Instagram is always the place where we present to be perfect and happy relationships. But a lot of us have the same experiences of tragedy, of triumph, especially in the relationship and sex space. So I just wanted to share it to be like, we're not alone. What you've experienced, as bad as you thought it was, somebody's experienced the same or worse. And it actually feels lighter when you can talk about it and laugh about it, obviously, once you've gotten over it. So yeah.
So I had to bring you on then today because I wanted to see if you could, like, from what you've learned from your amazing followers' experiences and your own, how do we navigate the world of dating? Like, this is what I'm curious to dig into. Like, is online dating the right thing, or should we do in real life? How about flirting? And how about like red flags? Because, oh my word, there are a lot of red flags in those stories.
That we ignore, but yeah, we'll get there.
So I would love to just hear from you. First of all, then, what do you think about online dating? What do we need to look out for there?
Well, the thing with online dating, I like it because it's a space where you know exactly why you're there. It's not like in person where, you know, someone might be meeting you for, I mean, although there's fraud and there's Tinder swindlers now and all these things, but, you know, at its purest form, if you're on an online dating app and somebody else is on an online dating app, the fact is that you're both trying to meet a partner or form a relationship of some kind. Some people are also very explicit about the fact that they're just there for hookups or sex or casual, but it just feels like it's a space where I'm coming and presenting that I want a partner. Mm-hmm. And I think also walls are put down because it's really private. It's just you and the person you've matched with. Whereas if you go out and someone approaches you, you might be sitting with friends or it might be in a public space and they might be a little bit more intimidated in that space and setting to be able to approach. So I like that it lets you get your walls down. You're already in that space, so you feel a bit disarmed. The only thing I hate now is how many people are using it to then swindle other people or to commit fraud and scam people. So if you meet in real life as well, it's just a space where, you know, people know, men know how vulnerable, especially women are that are looking for relationships, looking for love, and that they can exploit it by giving them what they need. Yeah. But I think online dating is just as viable as in real life dating. It gives you more options, especially if you don't go out that much, to be able to keep up with single guys, single women, or people looking. I think it's a great option. I don't personally myself, just because I think I'm really like distrusting now of a lot of people that I don't know. I'd rather meet someone organically, although, like I said, it doesn't really change anything. But also because of what I do for a living, sometimes I feel like it makes me even more vulnerable to scamming or to people who maybe just want to connect because of what I do. Yeah. So I just find myself being way too cautious, and I've kind of taken a step back from it. But when I was there, I had a good time connecting with some nice guys. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. And so then, if people are online dating, have you got any tips on how they can flirt in the DMs? And what do you think about sending photos and stuff?
Well, okay. So I think flirting is really important. But I also don't think you should be chatting for too long before you go on a date. Like, I think, you know, if you live in the same city, especially, sort of 2-3 nights maximum, and then a date should be set. I don't think we should be talking for weeks and weeks, because then that kind of becomes the pen pal, and then it's like, what's the point? And then I know that obviously people live in different countries and people live in different continents, and that makes it a lot harder. But you can even date virtually, set up a video call, get a glass of wine, get dinner, you know, make it a date night. But in terms of flirting, I think for me, I use a lot of humor. So I don't know if I can give people tips that will suit everybody, but my whole thing is just be yourself. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like people try and present this, like, you know, seductress or whatever it is when they're more goofy, or they try to present the funny guy when they're more debonair and so, you know, so be you, exactly who you are, because whoever you present, should it be long-term, you have to be that person forever. Otherwise now you're also technically scamming someone. But for me, like I said, I like to connect with a bit of humor mixed with like a very direct flirt. And in terms of pictures, so I've definitely sent and received photos, but I think it's very, very scary, like I said, when it's an online space. The only tip I would give if you get there is that no face, no case, and no ink. So whatever you have that makes you distinctly you on your body and that is easily identifiable, tattoos, your face, a scar, something like that, that's like, that's her, leave that out of the picture. Yeah. And also maybe not immediately. You know, you don't want to be sending pictures every week to different people that you match with.
Yeah, I hear you.
See them, vet them a little bit more, and then send.
Yeah, and then you can deny. If there's no ink and no face, you can just deny, deny. It's a scary thing, especially with like screenshotting, and like it's so easy to send pictures around, and it just gets
but I think also on Instagram and like Snapchat there's a function that lets you send something where someone can only view it once, and it gives you a notification if they have screen grabbed it or whatever it is, and you're like, okay, never trust that person again. But also again, if it's just nipple or like close up of the vag, unless the public is like, well, let's see yours to prove it's not you. There's nothing they can say to prove it to you. Even if it's sent from my account, I can say, well, I just Googled it because you were desperate for a photo. So yeah, just make sure it's just indistinguishable, like it's not you.
Not you. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Close up of a nipple, close up of a badge. Love it.
And the thing with online dating, I mean, I was also like, last year I matched with somebody and, you know, had quite a long communication, but they weren't in the country. Mm-hmm. But I used to watch 90 Day Fiancé and be like, I don't understand how people who've never met can connect so deeply. But once you know that you don't really have in real life yet as an option, the things you get to connect with online actually happen a lot quicker and a lot deeper than you would if you know you're going to be able to see them. Because when you go on a date in real life, it's like very superficial things. But if I'm talking to you online and I'm giving you most of my nights, let's just like, you know, get to a certain point quickly. So I actually found that some of the relationships or dalliances that I had matched with online were deeper than the ones that I'd matched with or met in person at a shorter time.
Yeah, I guess long distance relationship definitely has that benefit that even though they're not here, like even if it's a brand new relationship, you just get to those deeper questions because what else are you going to do? You can only talk.
Exactly. And also let's not waste each other's time. If it's not it, then we'll unmatch and move on. But now in real life, it's like, first we've got to just talk about the whatever superficial things because, well, we have time, we can see each other.
You know, something that this is slightly off topic, but something that I've just discovered that could add to this long distance online dating is these sex toys that can be controlled by an app from anywhere in the world. So I just received something yesterday, which it's from the company called Love Ents. And it's this little panty vibe, right? So it goes in your underwear like this, and then it has a magnetic clasp that goes on the other side of the underwear to keep it securely in place. And then your partner has the app and they can control it. So for me, I'm thinking restaurants, supermarkets.
Yes, parties, dinner parties. I think that's amazing. I think that kind of toy I would love to experience with a partner where we're both there, because then it's like even more exciting that we're both in on the secret. Only he knows why I'm suddenly like, whoa, you know. A wonderful toy. I've actually heard of these panty vibes ideas. I think I saw one on Real Housewives of Atlanta, and everyone was so shocked about it. I was like, guys, this is like a thing. It's been a thing for a while, and it's not that deep.
No, it's really not. I mean, it looks so cute and innocent.
It does. It kind of looks like a tongue in a weird way. It's a very cute tongue.
So I just think that whole aspect of bringing in those toys, because the thing I wanted to say about this is you can add anybody as a user. You can give control of this to anybody you want. It's actually
And then you can take it away once you're done with that person, or
yes, you can.
I'm like, I don't know if I want my exes to have the control forever.
So yesterday, for example, I talked about this on Instagram and I got a DM request from a guy asking for my username. Like, that was surprising.
Okay. You see, that's the other issue about like being somebody who freely discusses the topics that you and I discuss on our Instagrams, is that it then makes people think that there's free access to everything. Just because I'm sexually open or I enjoy talking about it or I enjoy experiencing things doesn't mean I enjoy it with everyone. Don't come into my DMs crazy, because no thanks.
So you mentioned then that when you're dating in real life, it can be intimidating for someone to come over to you and chat. Definitely hear you on that. So what would you say to somebody who has spotted someone looking hot and they do want to go over and talk to them? Like, what can they do to break the ice? And I know that you're like at your angle is usually comedy. That's cool. What would you suggest? Like, just those first words, that first showing interest.
But again, I think you'll always break the ice if you make people laugh. And also in that way, if you are rejected or it's kind of like, I'm not really interested, you can be like, I was just coming here to chat, like as mates, or like just to like ask for a lighter or whatever it is. It is helpful if you smoke or something, because then you can maybe ask for a lighter, maybe ask and look at the person that you're interested in. If you're a guy, I mean, you can even offer to buy a drink. I know that there's chances of you being rejected, and that's just across the board. But the problem is, if you don't go for it, you like miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So for me, I still like the confidence of someone being able to be like, if I fail, I fail. And I don't think a lot of people intend to be nasty about the letdown. The problem is that we treat rejection as if it's the end of the world. If somebody is not reciprocating interest, it is what it is. You go back and you have a good time with your friends. But honestly, I feel like for anybody, breaking the ice with something humorous is, because even if maybe the person that you intended to catch the shot is not interested, someone at the table might be like, oh, but I am, if that's a thing, if you're interested in me. So I think, yeah, dropping a little joke, being a little cute, suave, complimenting obviously the person on something that, and not you have nice boobs, but like, you know, I love your shoes, I love your dress, your hair is really, I like your smile, it lights up the whole room. Look at me macking on myself. But anyway, yeah, I just think things like that, where it's like a compliment, a little jokey joke, maybe an offer of a drink, or, you know, and then enjoy your night, ladies, and walk away. Let the person then come to you and be like, okay, I caught what you were serving. Hi. And then obviously it'll go from there. But it is a lot harder when there's big groups. I just think just walk up to them and be an adult about it. If they're not interested, they're not interested. And if they make it into a clown situation, then you know that person's an asshole anyway. And then you'll be lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually do think that's great advice, because if someone showed their interest and then gave space, that was attractive, because they're like, and then they give that seed of time to like plant a little, and then maybe you're going to glance and catch their eye and not feel like they're in your space, because there's nothing more like annoying than having just someone like hanging around all the time, like, hi.
Yeah, and if I like you, I will come, because I've seen the interest being dropped. So yeah, I think give a little bit and then back up. If people don't come, then you know, okay, cool. And that also leaves space for like less embarrassment or whatever you think is going to happen. Because if you get rejected from a distance, or the person doesn't come, or, you know, you look at them and they're like looking away, then okay, I get it. But if, you know, the person comes, or you're like, if you are interested, you can join me for a drink at the bar, you know, let a little bit of like a, so that you can maybe pull them away from the group a bit, if that's an intimidating space. But yeah, let it go a little bit. You've done your, and now pull back a bit.
Love it. Bait the sea and then like.
Ooh, yes. Okay. Give it time.
Brilliant. Okay. So now let's talk about red flags. And from all of the stories that you've heard so many incredible stories from people. I'm curious to know, like, for you, which is the most common red flag that, I'm going to say, women most of the time seem to just not notice or pretend isn't there?
There's two major ones for me. So one is some form of control. Maybe he's like, you're not going there, or you have too many male friends, that kind of thing. And the second one is love bombing. I was actually talking to a friend about this yesterday, how we ignore it so much. If somebody is telling you about wanting to marry you on the second date, it's not romantic. Mm-hmm. If they're talking about moving in and babies and you've only been on three dates, it's not romantic. It is a big, big, big red flag. And usually down the line from both of these examples of red flags is abuse, because the one, the love bombing, it's love bomb, abuse, love, it's a cycle. And then with control, if somebody's already telling you who you can hang out with, what time, if you can go, thinking they can even physically control you, maybe like pull your arm if they want to assert something, things like that. And I know that girls always say like, oh, it's so cute that he's jealous, or like, it's so cute that he's showing he cares. It's not cute at all. Any signs of possessiveness, jealousy, control, will lead to something way, way worse down the line. So I think those, out of all the stories I keep hearing, those are the two biggest trends. It's being love bomb in the beginning, but thinking it's so romantic that he like drops flowers at my house every single night without me inviting him over. And he also wants to get married. He's already talking about our kids' names, and I don't even know his surname. Like, oh, don't you think there's something weird about that? Like, investigate it a bit more. It's not normal behavior. And again, like I said, with the control. So every single time there's a story that ends in tears or ends just with chaos, it usually starts with those two red flags being ignored. And we do ignore red flags. You know, sometimes I do think, obviously there's manipulation. There are people, and that usually comes with the love bombing. That's why I'm like, be a little bit aware if someone's overly exerting romance onto in the first few days before you even know them. But yeah, I know that men are obviously, and you know, people in relationships manipulate and they lie and they present things that they know that you want. Mm. But I also do think sometimes women, as women, we meet them halfway, if not a quarter of the way, in ignoring the glaringly obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so much of that has to do with self-esteem issues and feeling insecure. Like, the dating game is difficult. And if someone is showing attention and showing and love bombing and giving us all of that affection, it's almost like a fairy tale, isn't it? Like, this person is obsessed with you and it feels so good. And then it can make you, it boosts up your self-esteem and you can show all of these gifts to your friends. Like, they bought me flowers again. And like,
they showed up to my workplace unannounced. Like, no, that is psycho.
Absolutely. And I think some of it is that public, isn't it? Public displays of affection, sending flowers to work, but actually not very attentive at home. Like, yeah.
It also makes sure that you have a crowd and an audience either not believe the person who then gets abused later on or cheated on or whatever it is, or makes it, you know, so that it's like, him? The one that was loving and no. And then you seem crazy because the entire world is now gaslighting you because of the behaviors that he has now shown to the public. So yeah, it's very, very dangerous. And I mean, even last year I was dating somebody and they presented a lot of the control aspects of what I'm talking about. So it was like, you know, you're out again. Who are those guys that I heard in the background? I'm like, at a bar. There are people that are at the bar. I don't know who they are. But I constantly have to explain my presence, what I'm doing, where. And I just was like, no, actually, no. This is going to get very dark very quickly. And also, for the first few moments, it was like, oh my God, somebody who really cares and somebody who like is showing that, you know, he's a jealous person, which means he also won't have female friends and he also won't, or like do things that are inappropriate with his friends because he cares so much about honesty and faithfulness. And but it just became a point where I couldn't even go out without having to list who was going to be there or where I was going or explain that I only really have girls as friends. And it was like, I really don't know why I'm explaining any of this. I've never asked him who he's going with, what time he's going, because it doesn't matter. Like, if I trust you, I trust you. If you prove me wrong down the line, that's okay. But yeah, it was just a very weird situation for me and I had to cut it quickly. And I'm pretty sure it would have gotten a lot more chaotic down the line had I held on, just because he also presented some other great things, including the love bombing.
Yeah, absolutely. And those two things can be used in tandem, can't they? To like soften you up and then control. And it's really difficult sometimes if you have been ignoring those red flags, when you start to realize, like you said, when other people around you are like, no, don't be crazy. You're so lucky. He's so attentive and he's so loving. But for anybody listening that is in that situation, like, what advice can you give them? Like, there's always options, right?
I mean, yeah, I think women always date as if from a point of scarcity. It's like we think that there's only one or two guys in the world. And like, if we let go of this one, that's it. No chance of falling in love again. And what I like about how men sometimes treat the dating world is like, there's always someone else. There's always someone else. There's a very rare chance that a man, and they do obviously forgive things and whatever, but it's less likely than it is with women. Even my topic this week was, things that you found in your boyfriend or husband's house that you know was another woman's. And a lot of, after they had spoken about, I found tampons, I found this, and I stayed. That was like the common thread. And I was just like, I just wonder why we always operate from this level of desperation. And the men know that, because some of the lies they were giving as excuses as to what these objects were, weren't even like good. They were not plausible. They were not realistic. They were obvious lies, but still they were forgiven, because actually it doesn't matter what you say and all the drama I cause and cutting the clothes and, you know, doing whatever to erase the competition, because for some reason men are the prize. I think we just need to stop operating from that place of like, you are the fucking prize. You are the prize. Stop chasing with this level of desperation that makes you accept any kind of behavior. If somebody loves you, they respect you. And if they respect you, they don't do the things that, you know, we spoke about on Monday. There's no way someone will disrespect you at that level and still say they trust you or they love you. And I also think, like, I mean, for me, the problem is that sometimes we deal with like opposites. So an ex of mine was, you know, he was never jealous, like never, ever, ever jealous. I could literally speak to whoever for as long as I wanted and whatever. And I was just like, and it used to bug me. I was like, do you not care about me? Am I not your prize? What is your problem? And actually make a really, really big deal about him not displaying like jealousy. He was like, but if you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. There's nothing I can do to stop it. It's not going to happen here in front of me. But if that's your personality, it is. I trust you. I love you. Just chill. And it took me a very long time. And only when I turned 30 or into my 30s, where I realized that jealousy is not, you know, a positive, and it's not a display of love. It's actually control, manipulation, and it's quite dangerous. So yeah, I think sometimes when you have something in a relationship or you're missing something, the problem with that is that when it comes in its other toxic form somewhere else, you then cling on to that like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. Whereas it actually is not the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned there that it can be dangerous. And I think it would be wrong of us not to mention that gender-based violence is a very real thing in this country. And if any woman listening to this, anybody at all is listening to this who finds themselves in those situations, there are resources available. I'm going to make sure they're in the show notes. But yeah, don't feel that you can't leave a situation. Please definitely look for help. I know that that's something that you talk about. While your platform on Instagram, which is my favorite place to find you, has so much comedy and lightheartedness, there is also, you really do bring space to a lot of more serious topics as well. So, and that's something that everybody seems to enjoy. We can learn so much from you.
I mean, I learned, like you said, it's from me and from my followers. And because Instagram and like Twitter allows for me to repost stories anonymously, I think it then provides people with a safe space to be able to speak about what they need to speak about. So yeah, I love to address, I think that's just my personality. I don't think it's something that I've structured. I am just as serious, I guess, as lighthearted, funny. So for me, that's why even Coconut Kells works. And the satire work that I do is because, first of all, to make it more palatable to the audience, because I know that there's a very big defense that comes from, especially white supremacy or white privilege. It's easier to kind of make people just relax if you give them a laugh first. And then they even subconsciously or unconsciously hear the message, and only later they're like, oh. So that's why I use a lot of humor in my thing, but also because I love to laugh. I love laughing at the ridiculousness of life, because otherwise we will cry every day. But yeah, and then on the other side, I am issues of gender-based violence, issues of just violence in general, of inequality, trying to learn and unlearn things that I have thought in the past, or I have behaved, or things that I've seen, and trying to then use that to have conversations with people so that they can do their own. Learning is a continuous journey. It's not like I'm done now, I'm expert again, preaching, whatever. It's the conversations. It's I'm giving, you're giving. It's a very much a platform for me to have the kind of conversations I have with my friends anyway, but just on a larger scale, because and the feedback I get all the time is like, this is such a nice space for all those things, because we learn, we laugh, sometimes we cry, but we're all sharing and we're all a little community. And I actually hope to translate these into in-person communities. So having events or brunches or something like that, where I can translate the conversations we have on my Instagram space into conversations we have with people that follow me and that, you know, I follow.
Amazing. I think that would be great. And I think now that we are able to see each other in real life, it's like something that we're really craving.
Yeah, I think so. And I think also just to allow other women to engage in person, because it is nice to be able to share and obviously have the conversation on Instagram. But I think there would be an elevation to it should it be able to happen in person. Also, the fun thing. So I don't want it to be a place where, you know, people come and they're like, the whole day. But, you know, a sharing moment, a moment where we speak about sex toys. I mean, an episode I did, so I have a new podcast, Convos and Cocktails. And an episode that I had for episode one was about the female orgasm and sex toys. And so many of the women that had listened to the episode were just like, because I had asked them to submit questions that our sexologist in Dileka was going to answer. They were quite sad questions to me, because it was like, I've never had an orgasm, or my husband doesn't want to use sex toys because he says it's competition. Just things where I'm like, and conversations that everybody's dealing with this thing, but no one's having it on a public platform because it's seen as taboo or explicit or whatever it is. So I'm just trying to also make conversations that are seen as explicit, not, because it's actually not. Everybody should have an orgasm. Everybody should have orgasms every fucking day if it were up to me. If not, let's talk about why not, rather than pretending that sex is something that only the sinners have or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Brilliant. You are singing my song right now. That is exactly what I think too. More orgasms. Yes, please. I think the world would be a happier place.
Yeah.
We've spoken about your Instagram. Please share your handle and tell us where we can find your podcast.
So my Instagram handle is lesego underscore tlhabi. That's L-E-S-E-G-O underscore T-L-H-A-B-I. And my podcast is called Convos and Cocktails. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Iono FM. But if you Google Convos and Cocktails with Lesego tlhabi, it'll come up for whatever platform you subscribe to. Please subscribe and enjoy the episodes. We speak about a whole range of issues. It's not sex related only. But basically, I'm just trying to have the conversations that I feel women in their 30s and younger should be having, and older should be having, that we often don't have. So yeah, it's a wonderful interview. A lot of amazing women and men actually coming up soon. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Brilliant.
That's my sales pitch.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I cannot wait. I actually am going to go and listen to episode one right after this. But thank you so much for spending time with us and joining us today and sharing all of your tips and secrets and amazing just stories with us. It's been great to have you, and I'm looking forward to checking out your podcast soon.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I love talking to you. It's very easy. I think you also just demystify a lot of the topics. I actually wanted you to also be a guest on the podcast, but you know, you live in Durban, so
yeah.
But yeah, maybe one day, hopefully one day we can return the favor.
That's it for this week. Did you enjoy this conversation? I hope that you are going to take away some tips to help make dating more fun. What was your biggest takeaway? Let me know in the comments below, as well as anything else that you would love me to cover or someone else you would love me to interview. And if you're looking for more free educational content to help you have more fun sex, then head to my website, inbedwithlisa.com/free-resources, to grab my 56-page ebook, The A to Z of Fun Sex. There's 26 fun ideas that are going to make you want to cancel tonight's plan, so be warned. Thank you so much for sticking around, and I'll see you next time. Liquid Gold Lube is an edible, rooibos-infused, sexual water-based lubricant. 100% natural plant-based ingredients are used in this product to ensure only the best for your sacred bits. Liquid Gold Lube is condom and sex toy compatible. Plus, it's cruelty and chemical-free, eco-friendly, and best of all, it leaves no stains. You can find Liquid Gold Lube at liquidgoldlube.com. Plus, you can enjoy 15% off with the coupon code LISALOVES. That's LISALOVES, all one word, LISALOVES. Enjoy.